sample of The Wood Witch's Daughter by Kate Seeger, narrated by Colleen Daly. The woman in the wood tugged at Arionette's mind even as she made her way back to her cabin. She took the long way home, following the deer trail that skirted around the town proper, rather than the major thoroughfare. The town would be bustling with folk preparing for the rite, and she would rather avoid the masses. She had never had her mother's effortless way with the villagers. They mistrusted her magic, modest though it was, and Arionette sensed it whenever they chanced to meet. She reached the split where the path and the road merged into one. A few villagers were already making their way towards the western fringes of the forest, preparing for the evening's festivities. Arionette smiled half-heartedly at the folk as she passed. All met her smiles with indifferent nods but one. A bent and bowed old woman with skin like crumpled paper froze in her tracks as Arionette passed by. The hag stared at her, disgust contorting her features. "You smell of the other side. You smell fey-touched, girl. Beware the veil tonight," the woman hissed at her. Arionette blinked, a chill running down her spine. The woman passed by, hissing as she hobbled down the road and making the sign of the goddess Zinnia surreptitiously in the air as she went. Only when her form was small and distant did Arionette recover enough to continue on. A wave of relief washed over her when the familiar sight of her cottage came into view, but she could not shake the dread that had settled over her. The old woman had said she smelled fey-touched. And this was the night of the rite, when the veil between the realms was at its thinnest. Could it be that the strange woman in the greenwood had been from beyond the veil? Arionette replayed the events of the afternoon in her mind. One thing continued to nag her, the woman's name. Lorna Blackburn. 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 It repeated like a chorus in her head, until at last it dawned upon her. Arionette leapt to her feet and ran over to her pallet, digging around beneath it until she found what she sought, an illuminated book. Swirling ink on the cover proclaimed it to be Tales of the Fae. Such books were rarer than rare. Arionette still did not know how her mother had procured it, but since the day Amabella had given it to her on her 12th name day, it had been a prized possession. Arionette had always been preoccupied with the Fae and the world beyond the veil. What others found terrifying, she had always found enchanting. She flipped through the pages, pausing at the chapter headings for each court. Earth, then sky, fire, then sea. Next came Arionette's favorite, the Court of Dreams. Now, though, she skimmed straight past it. She was seeking shadow, not light. What was in a name? Certain names had power, and the one Lorna had uttered struck a familiar chord in her mind. Because, she realized, she had read it 100 times. Arionette traced her fingers along the illustration. Court of Shadows. Ruler. House Blackburn. The inscription beneath the image read. She sat fingering the book. Outside, darkness was gathering in the greenwood. She watched the orange light flickering as the night fires were lit. Smoke wafted through her window. She should remain here, she knew, safe within the walls of her cottage. The veil was thin, and it seemed a fairy from the Shadow Court might very well be lurking in the greenwood. But it was like something out there in the woods was beckoning her, calling her forth to learn what secrets the night held. Giving in to curiosity, Arionette rose and flung her cloak over her shoulders. She paused a moment at the threshold as Amabella's words rang in her mind. It seemed her mother's ghost shared the room with her. "The night fires are not for us. We are wood witches. We have a special connection to the natural powers, and that makes this night a danger to us. We serve as a beacon when we venture too close to the fires. Those beyond the veil might see the spark of our magic and seek to claim it for themselves. We dare not risk drawing attention to ourselves."